for tuning in to Mormon Channel Daily today. I'm Charlotte Kniep. Just a few months ago, in Las Vegas, Nevada, a lone gunman fired into an outdoor concert crowd, killing 58 people and wounding close to 500. It was shocking and a very sad tragedy that really rocked the world and altered many people's lives forever. Dr. Brock Carden was one of the emergency room physicians at a nearby hospital, and he was able to help some of the victims in the aftermath of this horrible shooting. He joins us on the phone today from Nevada to talk about what he learned from these experiences. Take a listen. What were your thoughts and feelings like when you heard about the shooting and then the victims started rolling into your hospital?
I was home that night, actually. I'm a doctor here with the Air Force and doing my last year of residency, so stationed out here in Las Vegas. So the hospital that I was at that night is not my normal hospital that I work at. But it happened to be that I had been working out there in their emergency room for the month prior and then was on their trauma service, their trauma surgical ICU service, the week of that shooting. So I was at home when it first started, and when I eventually got woken up by phone calls for what was going on, that's when I, you know, jumped in the car and drove downtown Las Vegas to go to the hospital to help out as much as possible. So, I mean, I remember that drive down to the hospital, listening to the initial news reports on the radio. At that point, you know, nobody really knew what was going on. I didn't really know how big of a deal it was either. I just knew that the hospital was getting slammed pretty hard. And then, you know, showing up at the hospital, I ended up getting there probably about 2 hours or so after the first patients actually started rolling in. So by the time I got there, most of the severe of the injuries that had arrived, that had gotten triaged initially out of the emergency room and were up in the operating room or had gotten pushed up to the ICU, which was where I ended up working that first couple of weeks afterwards. You know, showing up, it's one of those memories that I think will always be with me, just the commotion. I remember coming to the hospital and seeing just dozens of patients that had, you know, gunshot wounds that weren't super severe, that were on crutches with bandages, that hadn't been admitted to the hospital, but were, you know, kind of walking around the hospital either waiting for family members or trying to find family members who had, you know, other friends or others who'd been more severely wounded who were, you know, still in the hospital or still being treated. You know, family members sitting in waiting rooms and in the halls that were, you know, crying or trying to comfort one another. You know, multiple people that were pretty hysterically trying to figure out what was going on. The, you know, emergency room, both the waiting rooms and the emergency room, there was a large amount of blood all over the floor and the walls and patients kind of stacked up, you know, two to three to a room in some parts of the hospital. It's pretty amazing in how surreal and how crazy it was initially. The amount of patients that we had and the amount of people that we were treating that we either didn't know what exactly the extent of their injuries were or were trying to stabilize as much as possible, it still at that point was pretty daunting. You almost get, I don't want to say numb, I'm not sure that's the right way to explain it, but with the amount of things that are going on, you just, so much sensory processing, it's hard to, you know, sit down and have time to actually think about what you're seeing. You kind of take in little bits by bits, you know, pictures of, you know, scenes and scenarios, and they kind of wash over you to a certain extent. And it can be pretty overwhelming. You know, looking back now and thinking about all the things that were going on, it's a pretty crazy sight with all the patients and everything.
Right. I can't even imagine what I'd be thinking or feeling in that moment. What do you remember the actual building feeling like?
As exhausted as everybody already was at that point and as overwhelmed as everybody was, it was collected chaos, I guess. I feel like everybody was frantic and, you know, was scared and nervous, but there was kind of a sense of, you know, we know what we're doing, we've kind of been trained for this, and everything is going to work out. And I think that was kind of the overriding sense. I think the thing that helped a lot with that, and kind of, you know, speaking for myself and speaking for a lot of the other resident doctors that were on, part of the amazing part of the whole thing was the miracle of the community and how, you know, medical staff and first responders kind of came together during this whole thing. I mean, the outpouring of community support was remarkable. I mean, when I showed up about 2 hours after the shooting, I mean, there were already people at the hospital from the community who had heard about it that were there trying to donate blood. There were people already at that point, you know, it's 2 or 3 in the morning, already bringing food into the hospital and delivering bottled waters and walking around outside trying to help people and find people who need support. Pretty much every surgeon and every doctor that's associated with this hospital came in without complaint and was there just working around the clock. And that goes for nurses and everybody else, too. I mean, the amount of people that were there helping and you know, grateful with a good attitude and wanting to do everything that they possibly could. I mean, it was kind of that strength in numbers type of feel. I think everybody drew peace from, you know, how much good. I mean, in light of all the terrible things that one person had done, there was so much love and support and good things that people were doing. I don't know, looking back, I feel like there was a lot of just kind of strength that I drew and a lot of strength that I think a lot of the other staff in the hospital drew from that overriding feeling.
That must have been incredible to see, and such a, like you said, such a source of peace in the midst of so much turmoil. When you did go home after your shift and you were able to talk to your family about this, how were you as a family group able to find peace during this time?
You know, that first day I got to the hospital, probably 2 or 3 in the morning, and I didn't get home until probably 9:30 at night. It was a long, exhausting day, and the next probably week and a half, 2 weeks was similar. And when I got home, I have 4 kids. My youngest 2 were in bed, but my, you know, 6 and 9-year-old were still up waiting for me. My wife was up waiting for me. My kids that night, the older 2, I remember going into their room that night just to say goodnight and tuck them in and kind of comfort them. And my, you know, 6-year-old and 9-year-old both just basically had this barrage of questions that, you know, didn't shock me because I know the kind of kids that they are and how thoughtful they are. But it was the first time that I really had a chance to think about what was going on. My, you know, 6-year-old, first thing she asked was, why did he do it? Which, you know, if you think about it, that's the question of life. You know, why do bad things happen? Why do people do things like this, you know, to other human beings? And I think it was a pretty simple question, but for a 6-year-old, I think it's pretty insightful. And she was worried about it. So it gave me the chance to kind of explain, you know, why things like that happen. This was to explain to her that, you know, sometimes people use their, you know, free agency or their ability to choose in life to make bad decisions that not only affect themselves, but affect others. The perspective that we have of, you know, Heavenly Father's plan, that this life is not everything, that we have a life to live together as families after this life is over, and that we have Christ's atonement to, you know, and his sacrifice to help push us through and help us guide us and give us strength. That was something that gave me a chance to kind of explain and teach to both my 6-year-old and my 9-year-old that night. And then, you know, the other thing that night that helped us was we said a prayer together, me with my 2 kids, with them just laying in bed, just praying for the victims and praying that the kids would be okay and that they'd be able to sleep good and they wouldn't have nightmares, all those things that you know, kids are really worried about. And I think it was a big help for them.
Unfortunately, these events happen quite often now, these traumatic events where people are hurt or get killed in a public setting. If you could speak to someone who's been affected by an event like the Las Vegas shooting, what would you say to them? What would you hope that they know?
I would want them to know that there's a plan, that Heavenly Father, in fact, does know them and knows the pain that they've gone through, that Christ's suffering for us and his atonement, his dying on the cross, you know, as we learn in the scriptures, you know, he didn't just die for our sins, but he, you know, suffered the sickness and the pain that we go through in life. He suffered, you know, the guilt that we go through when we go through something, you know, and we make a mistake. And he suffered all of those things and personally knows all of that in a way that we probably don't even know ourselves. And, you know, that's one of the things that, you know, I wish I could share with people and have them understand is how much Heavenly Father and Christ really do know what they're going through, that there's a purpose to all of this. It was interesting to see different reactions to patients and their families during the whole shooting, not only on that night, but on the weeks to follow. And there were some patients, and I mean, I think the emotions that you go through, I can't pretend like I understand them. I mean, I have experiences as a doctor seeing these type of things, but I, wasn't a family member or a patient going through the trauma that these people were. But, the emotions of anger and of fear and of frustration and of guilt and sadness and all those things that I think just wash over you had to be pretty overwhelming. And I saw a lot of that, and there were some families specifically that were just angry. Even on that initial night, and they were concerned about their daughter or their sister or their brother or their girlfriend or whoever it was, but were just already overwhelmed with anger at the thing that the shooter had done. And that was an anger that, for some families, even days or weeks afterwards was, the forefront. Everything that they talk about, that anger and that fear just really were overwhelming. And again, I can't blame them for feeling that way, and I don't know how I would have felt. I'm sure everybody felt that to a certain degree. But I also had, a few patients that processed, I think, that anger and were able to quickly see Heavenly Father's plan for them moving forward, and were able to be thankful for the little miracles that they had, in their recovery and the experiences that they had and the knowledge that they knew that everything was going to be okay, even if physically they, were to pass away, or physically if they were going to have disabilities, that everything would be okay. Faith in Christ, I think, is what gives people that true peace, that inner peace, to know that everything is, in fact, going to be okay.
All right, we want to thank Brock so much for sharing his thoughts with us today. We're going to close this episode with a quote from President Russell M. Nelson of the LDS Quorum of the 12 Apostles. And he said, "Joy comes from and because of Him." Thank you so much for tuning in today. Mormon Channel Daily is brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.